Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. And again, I am just so incredibly grateful that you all are showing up. I feel like this joining is critical at this point in time because we need to anchor ourselves in the truth. We need at this point to be miracle workers. As Bill Free said recently on a joining that I was on a call with him and others, a gathering, he said, our training wheels have come off. And that gives me goosebumps. Our training wheels have come off. It is now time to do what it is that we are learning in A Course in Miracles. And we can support one another by joining together in times like this on these study group calls to strengthen these ideas of truth in our minds. Let's begin with a brief meditation. If you are able, allowing your eyes to close and turning attention deep within. This is a place in you where there is perfect peace. It's a place in you that seems to be hidden by fear thoughts, by mind chatter, by our own judgments. And yet these things are fog. We can allow our minds to go where they want to go, deep into the self, into truth. And it's here in this space that we join. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. We are going to reread the four paragraphs that we read in last week's call. And I will then flow into reading this week's reading. We'll pause when we get to paragraph number 5. So in the Circle of Atonement edition, please go to page 883. The subheading is The Toys of Fear. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 30, part 4. Again, chapter 30, part 4 is called The Truth Behind Illusions. In the Sparkle edition, that is page 690. It's called The Truth Behind Illusions in that edition. And then in the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 30, part 5. All right, so Paul and I are going to alternate paragraphs. So I'm going to start with chapter 1. I'm sorry, paragraph 1. What am I saying? Paragraph number 1, The Toys of Fear or The Truth Behind Illusions. You will attack what does not satisfy, and thus you will not see you made it up. You always fight illusions, for the truth behind them is so lovely and so still in loving gentleness. Were you aware of it, you would forget defensiveness entirely and rush to its embrace. The truth could never be attacked. And this you knew when you made idols. They were made that this might be forgotten. You attack but false ideas and never truthful ones. All idols are the false ideas you made to fill the gap you think arose between yourself and what is true. And you attack them for the things you think they represent. What lies beyond them cannot be attacked.
Paragraph
two. Go ahead, Paul.
The wearying, dissatisfying gods you made are blown up children's toys. A child is frightened when a wooden head springs up as a closed box is opened suddenly, or when a soft and silent woolly bear begins to squeak as he takes hold of it. The rules he made for boxes and for bears have failed him and have broken his control of what surrounds him. And he is afraid because he thought the rules protected him. Now must he learn the boxes and the bears did not deceive him, broke no rules, nor mean his world is made chaotic and unsafe. He was mistaken. He misunderstood what made him safe and thought that it had left.
The gap that is not there is filled with toys in countless forms, and each one seems to break the rules you set for it. It never was the thing you thought. It must appear to break your rules for safety, since the rules are wrong. But you are not endangered. You can laugh at popping heads and squeaking toys, as does the child who learns they are no threat to him. But while he likes to play with them, he still perceives them as obeying rules he made for his enjoyment. So there still are laws which they can seem to break and frighten him. Yet is he at the mercy of his toys? And can they represent a threat to him?
4. Reality observes the laws of God and not the rules you set. It is his laws that guarantee your safety. All illusions that you believe about yourself obey no laws. They seem to dance a little while according to the rules you set for them, but then they fall and cannot rise again. They were but toys, my child, so do not grieve for them. Their dancing never brought you joy, but neither were they things to frighten you or make you safe if they obeyed your rules. They must be neither cherished nor attacked, but merely looked upon as children's toys without a single meaning of their own. See one in them, and you will see them all. See none in them, and they will touch you not.
Paragraph number 5. Appearances deceive because they are appearances and not reality. Dwell not on them in any form. I want to read that sentence again. Dwell not on them in any form. They but obscure reality, and they bring fear because they hide the truth. Do not attack what you have made to let you be deceived, for thus you prove that you have been deceived. Attack has power to make illusions real, yet what it makes is nothing. Who could be made fearful by a power that can have no real effects at all? What could it be but an illusion, making things appear like to itself? Look calmly at its toys and understand that they are idols which but dance to vain desires. Give them not your worship, for they are not there. But this is equally forgotten in attack. And we'll pause there. So again, we read those first 4 paragraphs last week and had a very rich discussion. So please do review that recording. I did share it on YouTube. It's been getting a lot of people have said it's been very helpful to them. So feel free to review that for the discussion on those first 4 paragraphs. We're going to focus now on this 5th paragraph that we just read. So again, appearances deceive because they are appearances and not reality. We are looking out on a world of appearances. The appearance of something that is microscopic, that can't be seen, but that is, you know, seemingly contagious and has spread around the world. This is an appearance. And it is our job as miracle workers to learn how to see past appearances. It doesn't mean that we don't honor where we are. We have to honor where we are. And it's funny, I had referenced this last week, but the guidance, I don't think I shared all of the guidance that Jesus had given to Bill when Bill was afraid of the flu shot, but a piece to it was that Jesus said, follow the authorities. And when I first heard that, I was like, well, that's not helpful. But now it kind of is very relevant, where we're being instructed to do certain things and, you know, letting that play itself out and honoring what those recommendations are. But it's imperative that we bring ourselves back to the truth and recognize that every single bit of what our body's eyes look upon, every single bit of what our ears hear, every single bit of what we seemingly sense through our body's senses is an appearance. And appearances deceive because they are not reality. It says, dwell not on them in any form. They but obscure reality, and they bring fear because they hide the truth. So this coronavirus seems, I mean, it has, you know, the world is having a collective panic attack. Like fear is at a worldwide high, and it's bringing so much fear because this obscures the truth. This is like a heavy seeming curtain that, you know, comes down in front of our eyes and it obscures reality. But it, just like every other idol in the world, is made of fog. It's made of nothing. And it's our job to turn to Holy Spirit and be willing to see past the picture. This is what I mean when I just love Bill Free's words that I referenced at the beginning of this call. Our training wheels have come off. It is time to do what we are learning in A Course in Miracles, wherever we are in the book, whether we're doing a lesson or just, you know, reading the text. This is serious. Like, let's, you know, be serious about this now, because I was thinking of it as, you know, we've been on a road as spiritual students, as students of the course, and I feel like our road just became a tightrope. And what I mean by that is it's time to focus. It's time to watch step by step. It's time to watch our minds moment to moment. And when we notice a fear spike, when we notice that fear come up, we notice it and we bring our mind back to the truth. We turn to Holy Spirit. We ask for help to see past appearances. One of my most favorite prayers that I've said many, many times is that prayer that begins, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Because if we are looking at it through our own body's eyes, it's a guarantee that it's going to freak us out. So this paragraph goes on to say, do not attack what you have made to let you be deceived. So in other words, we don't need to attack or hate, you know, the coronavirus and get angry, because thus we're proving that we've been deceived. When we're attacking it, we're making it real. What it makes is nothing. What we need to do instead of attacking it is to just be willing to be shown the truth, to be willing to see it as it is, to see past appearances, to see past these scary blown-up children's toys that have no power to hurt the Holy Son of God, which is who, again, it's who we are, and it's who we are asked to start to remember now. I feel like those of us on this pathway, this is now, we have a, like, we're on a mission now. We've been summoned to really do this work and really apply this moment to moment, because again, not only, we're not just doing this to reduce our own anxiety, we're doing this to help heal the world. And I truly believe that just like my first panic attack was a turning point in my own spiritual growth and development, I feel like this collective panic attack of the world is because it's time for the entire world to also raise its consciousness. So it's a dark night of the soul for the world. Paula.
Could I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Is the reference that you made to Jesus's talk to Bill, is that in the cameo?
You know, did anybody catch where that's from? I don't have a reference, but I could find out.
Because honestly, when you said that, that is exactly what I got this morning. I've been watching not very much of this. I'm trying not to buy into it, but I watched Meet the Press this morning, and I really got the feeling that, all right, I don't have to believe in this, but I do need to respect the wishes of these people who are saying stay in or do mm-hmm. these things. Because I was just going about my doing anything I wanted to do. But now mm-hmm. I do feel like, no, I need to respect that. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what Jesus was saying to Bill.
Yeah, which when is like, Paul.
I'm so sorry. I cut you off. I'll wait.
Oh, that's okay.
I was going to say really quick, the same as Paula, like I came to the same conclusion. Like, I know it's a dream. I know it's not mm-hmm. real. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I'm kind of like, who do I want to be in the dream? Like, who? Mm-hmm. How do I want this body to operate in the illusion? And I agree that I felt like, okay, I need to listen to them. I'm making some hard decisions with work and seeing clients virtually and, you know, taking the steps and respecting people who could be affected by part of the illusion. But, and you know, it's interesting because then the ego comes up and brings up different fears like, oh, financial. And oh, and so it's like, okay, so I'm seeing like, this is another thing to hand over. This is another thing to hand over, but I still mm-hmm. choose in the dream to, like Paula said, to respect the authority or to play it out, but play it out like who I want to be in this movie, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I love
but
that,
we
Paul.
Don't have to buy into the drama of it or the belief
right,
of
the
it.
Right, the fear.
And the
right.
fear.
Right, right.
Can I,
and
can
that's
I
where...
just say,
yeah,
I
go
just
ahead,
have to interject something because I can't, my husband is an asthmatic and uh-huh. he's very challenged at this time of the year. So he already deals with a cough and very often gets lung infections this time of the year.
Uh-huh.
So that's where my focus is. I truthfully, I have barely used course tools to deal with
mm-hmm.
this because my husband's on a completely different path
mm-hmm.
than I am.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a Course in Miracles student. He's not,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't talk about spiritual things really. So
mm-hmm.
that's the challenge I'm facing because I feel like I can't
mm-hmm.
go on my way. I mean, I can. I'm just saying where
mm-hmm.
I am.
I find it interesting about authority. I actually just watched Colbert's Friday show, and
mm-hmm.
he actually had Dr. Gunther, Sonia, and they talked about how the Chinese – being an authoritative government, just went in, isolated, totally, but they can do that because that's their government. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying, but it's interesting watching how countries are handling this.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is that all of us, all the countries are working. It's kind of like we've got an enemy, and the enemy is the virus.
Right, right. That if I can jump in, Christine, just to your point that like this is taking down borders. You know, this is we're going to see, just like you know, in 9/11, something so horrific happens in New York City. Then look for the helpers. Look at all the people helping each other. We can now see how borders disappear, and so that's you know perhaps a beautiful outcome of this and the repurposing of what's happening to show us our oneness. But I want to go back to what Tanya was saying, that Tanya, you know, again, like and this is for any of us when we are in the trenches and we're you know in relationship with someone who's not on this pathway, so you know we're not going to be talking about it out loud to them. What matters is just like when we remember turn to Holy Spirit again. You know, it might be way after the fact, it might be during, but this is an internal process of where we can ask for help, ask for guidance, and we keep turning within, because that's we know, you know, on our spiritual pathway, we know that that's the only way. So, it can be very triggering to see a loved one suffering in any or at risk, you know, like that can be very, very anxiety provoking. And even still talk to Holy Spirit. If you're just talking to Holy Spirit, like, you know, like that's enough. Just turn to Holy Spirit in the slightest bit, because none of us are alone. So it's an opportunity. If you don't remember anything else about the course in these moments, you can just say Holy Spirit, like Jesus, whatever it is that you can call to mind at whatever time, whether it's in the moment or after, it doesn't matter. It all still counts. So this is a time, you know, we're, as Paul said before, you know, feeling called to change behaviors, maybe having client sessions over the phone, but then like fears come up in other ways. So if it's not a direct fear about the virus, it can be a financial fear. It could be a fear about a loved one and their risk. So this is a breeding ground for fear, and as many opportunities as there are for breeding fear, there are just as many opportunities to turn to Holy Spirit. Every single fear spike is a call for love. That's how we need to reframe it. That's how we need to look at it, because that's what this is. So this is a grand opportunity.
Corinne, can I say something? Hi, this is Carol.
Yes, and after you speak, Carol, I'm going to share. I found the references for Bill's guidance about the flu shot. So go ahead.
Great. Last week, I just felt like I was all fired up, and I wanted to run to Barnes & Noble. And if they didn't have it on the shelf, I was going to tell them to order cases of your book, From Anxiety to Love, because I think that this is what we need. I mean, the course is, you know, of course, you know, there's so much of your book that's based on that. But, you know, I know that I need to remember that if I am feeling anxious, you know, again, the title of your book, From Anxiety to Love, it's mm-hmm. like step by step. And I know last week you said, because I listened to it and I shared it with a number of people. Actually, I have a friend of mine that's a social worker, and I told her, she said, I think I'm going to implode. And I told her about the course. I told her about your book. And, I mean, I'd already gifted her with a book, but, you know, mm-hmm. it's whenever you're ready kind of thing. And these are the kinds of things that we need to really hold on to. Or, mm-hmm. as Paula said, I love, you know, she gave me such a gift with Holy Spirit, I give this to you. Because mm-hmm. that, to me, is just so freeing to know that I can hand this over to Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. like on a second-to-second basis.
Yes.
This stuff is coming in by the hour. And mm-hmm. my kids talked to me last week, and, you know, I got to be honest, we were listening to the course in the morning, we were listening to the course in the evening, and we were like in this bubble of peacefulness.
mm-hmm.
And what I have been saying to people is, my home is peaceful and prepared.
Mm.
We are peaceful and prepared. Mm. And, you know, it's not, I mean, my life is changing because my clients are elderly. And mm-hmm. I'm not doing the same thing I've done in last week with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just not that way. And, my daughter, you know, it's a trickle-down effect. She pet-sits and she's babysitting, and that's not needed right now because parents mm-hmm. are home. So, mm-hmm. yes, everybody is, you know, and my daughter, God bless her, she said, you know, Mom, I have a place to stay,
and I have food and everything. But there's these people that, you know, need to pay their rent and need to do this and need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try to tout the course, live the course, but it is something that, you know, is lots and lots of triggers going on every day.
Absolutely. Left and right. Like, you can't get away from them. Thank you.
But I do want to say that what you have created here by, mm-hmm. you know, us having this call in, I mean, everybody feels safe and protected and, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're, what is that, social distancing, you know,
mm-hmm.
going
mm-hmm.
on. We can still listen to each other and
mm-hmm.
feel the peace of God.
Yeah, and that's our ministry. That's all of our ministry in the specific ways that we are called to show up in the world. So this is a job for all of us, and this is where I feel like I can't tell you how fired up I feel inside that, like, okay, it's time to put to do what the course says. So as little as that might be in the moment, if it means we're just talking to Holy Spirit, that is enough. But the thing is that when we, the point that I want to just bring up is that when we are getting agitated, triggered, anxious, we have fear spikes, we have anxiety spikes, either based on something we see on the news or the latest, you know, bit of information, or like our loved one who has some breathing issues, these fear spikes, all of this, if we can just remember a reframe, I don't know if reframe is the right word, if we can remember that this is the anxiety that we feel, the fear that comes up is a reflection of the degree to which we've tried to plant roots in this world, and the carpet has been yanked out from underneath us. So all of us continually try to plant roots here, make this home, make this safe, make this work out okay. And when things like this happen, you know, they've been on smaller scales when there's like mass shootings in one location or I can't even think of another example. This now is global. So the world's rug, you know, has been yanked out from all of us. And it's the degree to which we are disturbed by that shows us that we've tried to plant roots here again and we can't. It will always fail us because the laws of this world make no sense. They aren't laws. They're just chaos. As it said in the reading that I think it was the last paragraph that Paul read, it was paragraph number 4, all illusions that you believe about yourself obey no laws. So the laws of the world are no laws. And when things like this happen, it's a gut punch. It's like, oh crap, like I can't find safety here. Our safety comes from somewhere else. Our safety is in God. It's in our true home, which is not here. And our true home is what we are learning how to see through doing this work. The reward of forgiveness, the reward of turning to Holy Spirit is that our spiritual eye, our vision, if you're on the lessons, if you started the lessons on January 1st, today's lesson would be lesson 75, which is called The Light Has Come. And there's a sentence in paragraph 6 that says, realize that your forgiveness entitles you to vision. And this lesson has just been, the past couple lessons have been really hitting home for me because vision is what we are learning. And it's a vision that's coming from not the body's eyes, but it's like almost like seeing with your heart, like seeing love, like seeing the blazing love that is right there behind the form. So that's where we're going in every little effort that we make with doing this work. Now I want to come back. Okay, we're going to read the next paragraph. Before we do that, I just want to come back to the guidance piece. So if you're interested in reading the flu shot guidance that Bill received from Jesus through Helen, you would need the purple edition, so the Circle of Atonement edition, because this is based on Helen's handwritten notes. The other editions, this was edited out. And there are three pieces of guidance, and they're all in the first 50 miracle principles. So it's after miracle principle 18, miracle principle 22, and miracle principle 35. So if you have the purple book, write down miracle principle 18, 22, and 35. And the guidance is, and I'll just reiterate this, it's about discussing, just the first bit after principle 18 is discuss it very frankly, discuss the flu shot very frankly. There's more to it, but I'm just trying to be sort of quick here. Robert Perry, his commentary about this, Jesus didn't say there is no flu. He instead, which is what you might hear many core students, I haven't heard actually any core students say there is no coronavirus, but that's level confusion when we believe that we're a body, but we're like, oh no, it's not here, you know, but guess what? You do believe it in some level. He counseled, instead of saying there is no flu, Jesus counseled Helen and Bill to discuss the question of the flu shot very frankly. The next bit of guidance is ask Bill's help for guidance about the flu shot, but be sure to tell him to not let fear enter into the consideration. So that's the imperative piece, is to not allow our minds to slip into fear. That's the biggest piece that I take from that guidance, is that's why this work that we're doing is so important, to not get lost in fear. And if we do, we turn to the Holy Spirit again, we find our way, we work ourselves out of it through our coursework. After miracle principle 35, there was another bit about flu shots, because apparently, this is where, in this third bit, is where it says about trusting the medical experts, that Jesus is trying to work through them. So I'll just leave it at that. You can read those miracle principles, 18, 22, and 25, I'm sorry, 35, if you're interested in that guidance. Let's come back, and Paul, I'll just take it from here since we're pausing and talking. So I'll take it from here and just read paragraph number 6. Thank you for being my co-reader. God's son needs no defense against his dreams. His idols do not threaten him at all. His one mistake is that he thinks them real. What can the power of illusions do? Appearances can but deceive the mind that wants to be deceived. And you can make a simple choice that will forever place you far beyond deception. You need not concern yourself with how this will be done, for this you cannot understand. But you will understand that mighty changes have been quickly brought about when you decide one very simple thing. You do not want whatever you believe an idol gives. For thus the Son of God declares that he is free of idols, and thus is he free. So this is pretty, like, almost in circumstances like this, like, it's almost like so shocking it doesn't seem believable. God's son needs no defense against his dreams. That's saying we don't need to defend against anything, even coronavirus, but we believe we are these bodies. We believe we're really here. So on some level, we are giving it reality. We do believe in it. And that's where it's important for us to be where we are and turn to Holy Spirit and ask to see it differently. The idols do not threaten him at all. That's an important thought to remember also. And this is where I hope that my upcoming podcast about Henrietta visiting me is, you know, we have to stop and ask ourselves, if we're getting so freaked out by this coronavirus and the possibility of death, what is it that we're really afraid of? You know, what is it that we're really afraid of? We can say we're afraid of suffering. We can say we're afraid of losing a loved one, of not having income, of not having, you know, safety. All these things are of concern. And yet if we go to the truth, if we, for instance, maybe when you listen to my Henrietta podcast, it will help open our minds. And this is what listening to NDEs does for me. It helps me open my mind to the fact that there is a reality right here, just past the appearance. That is the truth. That is something that we can wake up to now, and that this is literally just a dream. This is just a reflection of our own mistaken thoughts and nothing more, and it has no power to hurt us. The other piece, the next sentence, appearances can but deceive the mind that wants to be deceived. This is another little kind of kicker, because there must be part of our mind that wants to be terrified and stay in darkness, or, you know, we wouldn't be dreaming up such scary dreams. And this is where I feel like owning the fact that there is part of me that loves being Corinne, that loves being a separate self, that feels I'll lose something, you know, if I lose this, I have to own that and be willing to look at that with Holy Spirit too, be willing to hand that over. And I feel like doing that has helped me a lot in just that shift from small s self to capital S self. I also want to highlight the sentence, but you will understand that mighty changes have been quickly brought about when you decide one very simple thing: you do not want whatever you believe an idol gives. So when we make that, when we declare that, you know, what this world of form gives, the only things that it, like, you know, it gives the pretty pathetic gifts, we don't want that. We want certainty. We want peace. We want to walk knowing that we don't walk alone. The moment that we say we don't want what the world gives, aren't these beautiful sentences? Mighty changes have been quickly brought about when we decide that. Mighty changes have been quickly brought about. So therefore, we're declaring that we are free of idols, and thus we are free.
Hey, Corinne, can I throw something in here?
Please.
Robert Perry suggested this somewhere along the line in Course Connection, you know, that I've been working with. He suggests that we use first person. Like, and I can make a simple choice that will forever place me far beyond deception. I need not concern myself with how this will be done. For this, I cannot understand. I've been writing out the workbook lesson in first person. And there's a feeling that comes over me. It becomes so personal. It feels more direct or something. I'm kind of getting it on like a little bit of a different level.
Yeah.
It's just a suggestion.
Thank you.
Just a suggestion.
That's a great suggestion. And you're reminding me, I love that in the first person, you're reminding me of another call where I shared exercise from Robert Perry, where every time you see the word you, you insert your name. So, and you, Corinne, can make a simple choice that will forever place you, Corinne, far beyond deception. So that also really personalizes it, which is really, really helpful. Love that. Thank you for that, Paula.
Okay.
Let's read the next paragraph. Salvation is a paradox indeed. What could it be except a happy dream? For you are asked, but to forgive all things that no one ever did, to overlook what is not there, and to look upon the unreal, and not to look upon the unreal as reality. You are but asked to let your will be done, and seek no longer for the things you do not want. Carol, I'm actually hearing some background noise from your line, if you wouldn't mind pressing star 6, that'd be so helpful. Thank you. I'm going to reread from, you are asked to let your will be done. You're but asked to let your will, I'm sorry, Carol, I'm going to mute your line. You are but asked to let your will be done and seek no longer for the things you do not want. And you are asked to let yourself be free of all your dreams of what you never were, and seek no more to substitute the strength of idle wishes for the will of God. Here does the dream of separation start to fade and disappear. For here the gap that is not there begins to be perceived without the toys of terror that you made. So salvation is a paradox indeed. What could it be except a happy dream? So this is what we're being asked to do. I see this, I think it's three things. As miracle workers, we're asked but to forgive all things that no one ever did. Carol, I'm so sorry. I'm hearing your line again. If you could press star six. Thank you. For your three things we have here. For you are asked but to forgive all things that no one ever did. So in other words, we're asked to forgive. We're asked to turn to Holy Spirit, hand it all over. We're also asked to overlook what is not there. So as we hand things over and we ask for a miracle, we ask for a shift, we start to learn that there is something beyond the form that is real indeed. And we're also asked not to look upon the unreal as reality. So to recognize that this is like cardboard cutouts marching around and that truth lies beyond the form. None of this can we do without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the means for how we wake up, how we remember the truth. So at minimum, it's about turning to the Holy Spirit. I cannot tell you all how much the lessons have been incredibly grounding for me with everything that's happening. So if anybody is feeling like you need, you know, some support every single day, I really, really would recommend starting the lessons. Start them tomorrow. Start them, you know, tonight. You don't have to start on January 1st and start to just really, really do them in the same level of seriousness that we're feeling, you know, with what's happening in the world. We can be really, really serious about our spiritual studies, and it will help. All right. I'm going to pause. We have one paragraph left. Anybody have anything that you want to share, that you want to ask? Any examples coming up? Let's go ahead. We'll tell you what, we'll read the last paragraph of this section, and then we can certainly open it up and just chat some more and get support however we need. Okay, so our last paragraph. No more than this is asked. Be glad indeed salvation asks so little, not so much. It asks for nothing in reality, and even in illusions, it but asks forgiveness be the substitute for fear. Such is the only rule for happy dreams. The gap is emptied of the toys of fear, and then its unreality is plain. Dreams are for nothing, and the Son of God can have no need of them. They offer him no single thing that he could ever want. He is delivered from illusions by his will, and but restored to what he is. What could God's plan for his salvation be except the means to give him to himself? So we are asked to have forgiveness be the substitute for fear, such as the only rule for happy dreams. I love how it goes on to say the gap is emptied of the toys of fear and that its unreality is plain. All right. We made it through our section. So I'd love to open it up for comments, questions, concerns. If there's something on your heart that we want to talk about, it is my hope that when we get off the call, we feel way better than when we came on. Does anybody have anything you'd like to share or ask? It can be based on the reading, or it can just be based on what's going on.
I had an interesting thought.
Paul first and then Blanca.
All right.
Can I be really third?
I think that was Christine. Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay. I think it was the second to last paragraph or the last paragraph. A thought came to mind as, you know, it was saying that forgiveness is the only thing that's asked of us. And I was like, oh, an interesting practice could be forgiving the virus, or, you know, like I forgive you, or something like that, just to practice too, if fear thoughts are coming up about it. So
I
just wanted to share
Paul,
that
is a very inspired thought. And you know what I will add to that is, remember we've talked, I don't feel like we've talked about Nook Sanchez's prayer in a while, but listen to this.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using coronavirus to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self.
Yes.
That prayer is like forgiveness on crack. Like, it's so good. I'll say it again. Holy Spirit, if anybody wants to write this down, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank, fill in the blank. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank to attack myself, to unknowingly attack myself, and to separate from your love as my holy self. Paul, thank you for that.
Thank you. I almost forgot about that prayer, which I love.
Oh, it's such a good one. Thank you, thank you. Blanca.
Well, in 2012, I became extremely ill with a respiratory illness.
Uh-huh.
And not to frighten anybody, but it was kind of like a year-long ordeal.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, I mean, I tried various natural remedies, and then I finally ended up on all sorts of steroids to deal with the symptoms. And in the end, I got myself off the steroids, but it led to some other health complications. So at that point, you know, one day I woke up and I literally could not lift myself up out of bed. Like, there was no strength left in my body.
Ah.
And I was living alone like I do right now, but I was down in Miami, still where I'm from. And I ended up having to go and live with my sister here in this area that I'm living in now. And I thought it was only going to be temporary, but I was still so ill that you know, I had to go down to Miami with my sister and my niece, and they packed up my whole apartment because I was not strong enough to do it myself. I couldn't do anything, mm-hmm. actually. I just sat in the car while they packed up my entire apartment and moved me into my sister's home,
mm-hmm.
about 6 hours north here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, I ended up living with my sister for a few months, and it was really rocky for all kinds of reasons. But I eventually healed enough to go back to work, and I moved into my own apartment here closer to where she lives. And that's when I started studying A Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And I also took up painting, which was something that I had always wanted to do since I was young and had never done. And so two things. One, it was a disaster. Two, it brought me closer to my sister, and who I was not close to really at all, because we're extremely different. And pretty much God took care of everything. Because
mm-hmm.
I was too weak physically to do anything for myself. My sister, who I was not close to, I didn't have any animosity. We didn't have any animosity, but we just weren't close. Her and her family basically just took it upon themselves to, you know, take care of me, take care of everything that needed to be done. And it was all, and that for me is the safety of God. That for me is, I had this idea of being on my own and having to take care of everything for myself. And that was, you know, it wasn't true. Like, love is there, and you will be taken care of somehow or other. You know, because that is what's true. So, and again, it brought me to A Course in Miracles, just like you said with your crazy panic attack that you used to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to share that because the truth is true. You are
the
loved.
The truth is
for.
True.
Yeah. So
the truth is true. Oh, Blanca, thank you for sharing that. And I want to jump in on that point about being taken care of. We started the call tonight before I started recording with a conversation between, I think it was it John and Tanya, where John was sharing a book called Angels in My Hair, and it's about a woman who sees angels. She's seen them since she was a young child. And, you know, we tend to just think of, like, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God. And to be honest, I used to, like, poo-poo angels. I was like, oh, you know, Course in Miracles is cool, but angels are like new age, you know. And it wasn't until I had an experience with angels that I totally opened up and shifted. So there's help. There is help everywhere. And yes, we will and are being taken care of. And I know Deidre on the line, who is intuitive and an angel intuitive, has perhaps a lot to say about angels, but I just, the title of my podcast is A Visit from My Golden Angel Chicken. So I'm all about angels now. So I wanted to add them into the mix to remember that it's like, not that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit aren't enough. They are, but that, like, you know, there's help everywhere and we are taken care of. So thank you for that, Blanca. That was beautiful.
Corinne. Can I just step in and say, what comes to angels? She said a lot of them are unemployed and looking for a job. So ask for help.
Oh, John. Thank you for that. That's so lovely.
Corinne.
Ask for help. Yes, Paula.
I went to Whole Foods the other day, and I was not really focused on the coronavirus or anything. I really wasn't watching TV, but I go to Whole Foods, and I was shocked because there were so many people in there, and there was no food. Everything was empty, and I was like, "Oh my God, what's going on here?" And I got really kind of panicky, not panicky, but just I felt so depressed. Well, anyway, I leave there, and I'm starting to feel a little better. I get up by the high school. Now it's 70 degrees. It's like the first day of spring. There's a carload of kids coming out of the high school. They are having the time of their life. They're boogieing. They're singing. They're carrying on in that car. I'm parked right. I'm at the light, so I can't get away from them. And I started laughing. I felt so uplifted by them. I can't even tell you. And I started kidding with them. And I said, "You better drive safely, you know." They said, "Come to the party with us." It just shifted my mood. Then I went and walked at the beach, and this was later in the day. This is around 5:30 in the day. There were so many young couples down there. It was beautiful. It was warm. And they're down on the beach with their kids. There's some families eating their dinner in the gazebo. I'm walking down the boardwalk, and here's this little two-year-old with her mother and father, and she's standing between them, but she's looking at me coming towards her. And honest to God, you talk about an angel. Her face lit up. She started smiling at me. She's waving at me. Honestly, I felt like the angels were putting all of this wonderful stuff in front of me to uplift me. And I think that's the truth. And I think that's what we need to look for in this situation.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
We just need to become aware of what's really going on, what's really real.
Yes. Thank you, Paula. That was awesome.
You're welcome. Okay.
Christine, I think I heard you before, asking to be third.
Well, it was interesting because I really wanted to coin in on forgiveness. I have... learned how important forgiveness is. And Could you, in your Facebook or somewhere, write down the forgiveness?
That prayer? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I'll post it in the From Anxiety to Love group, the Facebook group. I'll post it there right after the call.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thanks so much.
Yeah,
we'll
do.
Yeah, I found it interesting that I was going to talk about forgiveness, and it kind of got covered.
Awesome.
But writing down what you – I just aren't fast enough to get it.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Oh. I will post that as soon as we disconnect.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Okay, thank you so much. So everyone, I just want you to know that we're going to get through this, and we're going to be here every Sunday night. I'm not stopping the group anytime soon, so know that you have this as weekly support and a weekly reset. If you feel like you haven't even thought about A Course in Miracles all week, we're going to be here. So Know that only the truth is true, and that we do not walk alone. And there are unemployed angels that are looking for jobs. So ask for help. I can't thank you enough for that, John. I love you all. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much,
Corinne. Love you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you.